The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed don't necessarily reflect those of NCIFM.
Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation.
Bonjour, Anine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I'm SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from the studios of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. Coming up on this edition, we continue our look at health and wellness in our nations, particularly when it comes to sport and recreation. With that in mind, we turn to a pair of young leaders who have a lot of knowledge on this front. Today, we welcome to studio SCO Youth Chiefs Trishelle Bunn and Josh Gandier. Both have extensive experience in sport, and we can't wait to hear what they have to share. So sit back, relax, and spend the next half hour with us on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. For the last couple of weeks, we have been focusing our attention on the topic of health, healthcare, and what we can do to create healthy nations and people. It is no secret that physical activity plays a huge role when it comes to overall health and preventative health. I have been on my own personal fitness journey and can tell you it has been life-changing and very challenging. Today, we are delighted to have our two SCO Youth Chiefs joining us in studio. They are both shining examples of what sport and physical activity can mean for our people. Up first is our female Youth Chief, Trishelle Bunn. Trishelle is a proud member of Chan Kaje Otana Dakota Oyate. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Criminology with a minor in Indigenous Studies. Trishelle is now enrolled in her first year of law school at the University of Manitoba. While pursuing her arts degree, Trishelle was a member of the Bison Women's Hockey Team. She's also the founder of the Reconciliation Fund, which is Canada's first National Day for Truth and Reconciliation half marathon. While her academic accomplishments are extensive, we want to focus on her impressive sports background. Trishelle Bunn, welcome to Fireside Chats.
Padamia Grand Chief Daniels, I'm excited to be a guest on the show again, but this time in studio.
Before we dive into your athletic background, tell our listeners a bit about Trishelle Bunn.
So I'm 24 years old. I grew up in Wampaw, Manitoba. It's a really small community in the southeast corner of the province, right along the Manitoba-Minnesota border. So I was actually born in Rosa, Minnesota in the U.S., so I'm a dual citizen just because that was the closest hospital for my family living in Wampum. I'm a proud member of Bertel Sioux Dakota Nation, and my family ties there are the Buns and the Hanskas. I have a younger brother, Tian, who's also the DOTC rep on the SCO Youth Council, and I'm in my first year of law school at Robson Hall at the University of Manitoba.
You've had phenomenal success in hockey. When did you first take this up?
So I actually started skating in my backyard with my dad when I was just 3 years old. So he built a backyard rink in my backyard in Wampum, and he kind of put little skates on me. And I think ever since then, I've just been playing the game. And I played most of my youth hockey across the border in Warroad, Minnesota, just because that was the closest hockey program to my community of Wampum. And then ever since then, I'm still playing today.
So what happened to make you realize that you had some real talent when it came to hockey?
I totally think that I had that realization, and my parents had that realization when I made Team Manitoba for the National Aboriginal Hockey Championships when I was 14. So at the time, I was told that I was the youngest person to ever make the team. So I think that gave me a lot of confidence. And I remember I felt pretty intimidated at first, being the youngest on the team. And a lot of girls were 18. And we at the time, there was like overagers allowed to on the team. So some were 18, 19 years old. And I was only 14. And I ended up getting like a little kind of college information packet at the time from St. Francis Xavier, a youth sports school, kind of showing interest in me as a young player already at 14. So I think that kind of gave me the confidence that I could have a future playing university hockey.
Speaking of university hockey, you played hockey throughout university. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How does one get into playing hockey in university?
Yeah, I think I had a really unconventional path to university hockey. So I played most of my hockey across the border in the U.S., so I didn't have a lot of exposure to Canadian universities and youth sports schools, but I ended up committing to the University of Calgary. So at the time, I was playing hockey in Boston in the Junior Women's Hockey League over in Massachusetts, and I was receiving different university offers, but at the time I really wanted to go to the University of Calgary. So I made my own little highlight reel and drafted a letter to the coach at the time, who was Hockey Hall of Famer Danielle Goyette. And within 2 days, she had sent me a letter of offer, and we had a conversation, and I ended up committing 2 days later. So I spent 2 years at the University of Calgary playing for the Dinos. And then when COVID hit, I made the transfer to come back to the University of Manitoba and finish my U Sports career with the Bisons.
University can be very, very expensive and very intimidating too for many. Can you talk a bit about how you're able to cover the cost to attend university? What advice or tips would you have for teenagers, young people who are considering post-secondary education?
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate to be able to receive athletic scholarships along with other scholarships I applied for. I actually received the SEO scholarship through Indaspire, so getting those scholarships definitely help with the cost of university and even law school now. And my community, Bertel, also helps with, you know, monthly living expenses. But I think my advice would just to be really find something that you're passionate about. And once you find something you're passionate about, I think it makes the work a lot easier and you really enjoy the process.
What kind of role did your family play? And also, you mentioned a bit about Bertel Sioux Nation when it came to supporting you through your university. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, my family and I are really close, and I feel really, really blessed to have a close relationship with my family. And both my parents, my mom Jolene and my dad Gabriel, always were big advocates for education and always stressed the importance of pursuing education. So I think the support that they've given me throughout my undergraduate degree and then even now into law school, they're really kind of my support system and my rocks, the people that I can fall back on to support, especially when, you know, challenges come. And even my younger brother, Tian, we live together in Winnipeg now, and he's at the U of M, so it's nice to have a friend and someone to lean on throughout your studies. And my community as well, I think, has provided me so much support, and even if it's just a quick message from someone in my community or a Facebook post, or when I go back to my community and visit my grandparents and have people just share how proud they are of me, or, you know, youth share, I can't believe you're doing this, I want to do that. So I think that support is important, but it's also motivating and it inspires me to continue on.
I wanted to talk about the connection between hockey and physical and emotional well-being. I know that sport has opened a lot of doors for you and has created new opportunities for you. For example, you were recently invited to drop the puck at the Winnipeg Jets game earlier this month as part of the Celebrating Women in Sports game. Around 60 people from Bertel Sioux attended the game. What was that experience like?
It was truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I didn't expect to be so nervous. I kind of felt like how I would feel before, you know, one of my own hockey games. And my big thing is my uncle had texted me before the game, and he says, whatever you do, like, I'm coming to watch, don't slip. So that was kind of a funny moment. But I think that just goes to show kind of the opportunities that sport has provided me, and not really something that I had anticipated. So for me, movement and hockey in general has always been kind of my outlet and escape and a way to stay balanced physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I kind of live by the teaching of movement as medicine. So I think sport has given me so much and hockey has given me so much. And it's always been kind of that positive outlet for me. And I think it's been amazing to be able to see how that's grown into allowing me to have a platform to, you know, advocate for inclusivity within the game of hockey, and also to be a role model for youth in my community. And like you said, a lot of youth attended the game where I dropped the puck, and for a lot of them it was their first NHL game and they couldn't believe that I got to go on the ice. So I think representation is so important, and being able to show them that, you know, through hard work and determination you can really achieve anything is the most important thing to me.
Your involvement in sport then evolved into an organizational role. Can you tell us more about this annual Reconciliation Run?
Yeah, so the Reconciliation Run started as a healing walk in 2021. It was kind of sparked by the 215 recoveries in Kamloops. And growing up, I heard the stories that my grandparents, so my Cushy Mildred and my uncle Donald, faced when they attended the Bertel Residential School in Bertel, Manitoba. So at that time, I knew that there was a lot of hurt in my community, and there was really a need for healing. So as I was reflecting, I was thinking back and talking to my family, and something that my uncle Donald said was that when he was at the Bertel Residential School when he was younger, was that he wanted nothing more than to run away and go home. So it all started from that. So on July 1st, 2021, my family and I went back to the Bertel Residential School, and we walked back to my community of Bertel And around that time, someone said, oh, we walked the distance of a half marathon today. So we now transformed it into a half marathon. So it is Canada's first National Day for Truth and Reconciliation half marathon. And it's become an annual event, just providing healing for my community, but also continually placing awareness on the effects of the residential school system for the rest of the country.
In your opinion, how important is sport, recreation, and other physical activity as it pertains to health of our nations, in particular our youth?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think sport and physical activity is so important. And our people have always been physically active and relied on physical activity for survival. So I think that physical activity for a community can really be that healthy outlet for our youth and kind of put youth on that good, positive path. And I think the runs kind of had that impact in my community. And I kind of realized that when after the first run in 2022, a youth from my community crossed the finish line and they said, I can't wait to start training again for this next year. So it kind of, you know, provided that incentive and something to look forward to. So I think physical activity and movement can really be that positive outlet and space for our young people.
I want to touch on the fact that you're in your first year of law school. I know it's been an intensive process. Is there anything you want that you learned in your first year of studies that surprised you and that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I was actually talking with Kevin Chief about this the other day, and he said, like, using your background in sport to kind of be something that you can transfer into school. And I didn't really know what he meant by that at first, but I think, you know, as an athlete, you're used to challenges, you're used to being tired, you're used to kind of pushing your limits. So I feel like throughout my first year of law school, I kind of learned how to transfer that resilience and that dedication and working through hard times in schooling and an intense process that I learned as an athlete over into my education. So I think that's been the biggest thing that I've learned so far.
Trishaban, it's always a joy to connect with you, and I want to thank you for coming into studios to share with us today.
Pudamia, thank you, Grand Chief, for having me.
Still to come, we will be joined by our other youth chief, who is also a very good athlete and student in his own right. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats. Welcome back. I'm your host, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, and you're listening to Fireside Chats. In this part of the show, we will keep looking at the topic of healthy living and physical activity. To chat more, I am now joined by our male youth chief, Josh Gandier. Josh is a member of the Peguis First Nation. He was born and raised in Winnipeg, where he took part in many sports, with basketball becoming his main focus. Josh would go on to play for Manitoba provincial teams, the University of Winnipeg Westman, and for Manitoba at the 2017 North American Indigenous Games. He has also demonstrated his commitment to community by coaching basketball for Indigenous youth throughout the province. In summer of 2023, he even coached my son Angelo and his teammates on the U16 and under boys team at the North American Indigenous Games in Halifax. When he is not making his mark in sport, he is also an accomplished student. He earned a Bachelor of Business Administration degree at the University of Winnipeg, and like our female youth chief, Trishaban, he's also pursuing a law degree. He's an impressive young warrior, and I'm so pleased to say he joins us now. Josh Gandier, welcome to Fireside Chats.
And Dinoe Maganiduk, miigwech for the amazing introduction, Grand Chief Daniels. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start this conversation by having you tell us more about yourself. Tell us about your family and where you grew up.
Well, to start, I'm a son, older brother, law student. My mother's from Peguis First Nation, and my father's family's from Winnipeg. I was born and raised in Treaty 1 territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I'm a proud Winnipegger.
What are your earliest memories of getting involved in sports?
Like many youth in Winnipeg, I started off with community club sports, and my earliest memories involving sport is just all the times I got to spend with my buddies on the court and off the court. I had a pretty unique experience in that I played with the same guys I started community club with all the way up to my senior year of high school. That's 10 years of spending time together in the gym and off the court. And we had a special group that really pushed each other to work hard and hold each other accountable because we wanted to win championships in high school. And we had some very successful years because of our dedication. And about 7 of our guys ended up playing college after too.
We know it's very common for many children to grow up with single parents. I know this was the case for you. Can you tell me a bit more about how sports provided you with access to healthy male role models?
Yeah, for sure. My mother raised my younger brother and I by herself for most of our childhood. And I attribute a great deal of my success to the basketball coaches that I had growing up. For me, having coaches who believed in me and saw possibilities for myself that I couldn't picture for myself really motivated me to work hard and stay out of trouble. Sports are a great way to build self-esteem and confidence, and when you have the chance to be around older, healthy male influences like coaches or older players, it really brings out that confidence and self-esteem, and that's just one of the beautiful things about sport.
Speaking of healthy male role models, you shared a story at our recent health gathering about how you know our community, SEO community ambassador, Kevin Chief. Can you please tell me a bit about how you know Kevin and why you would consider him a role model when it comes to athletic achievement and healthy living?
Yeah, I know Kevin because of our connection through the University of Winnipeg. We both played there for 5 years, and we're the only two First Nation men to play 5 years and get a degree out of the experience. And sounds like we might have an up-and-coming athlete in your son, so I'm excited for him. Kevin really carved a path for First Nation athletes. He had an extremely successful career at the university level, and he's been staying fit for decades ever since he stepped on UW court. He's had his struggles as a young man, and I really look up to him because he's not afraid to share that. And it's about the model that he sent today for youth and the way he shows us all how to jig.
Let's get back to basketball. So going back to basketball, when did you know that basketball was going to be your sport of choice?
I would say grade six. I spent 2 to 3 years playing with my buddies that I started with community club in, and I wanted to continue to be with them, keep that friendship. Plus, I was a really tall kid. I was like 6'1 by grade 8 already, and so it was either volleyball or basketball, and I wasn't much of a fan of the short shorts guys were rocking for volleyball back then, so it was basketball for me.
What led you to becoming part of Team Manitoba and eventually the Winnipeg Westmen?
Like I mentioned, I had coaches who brought things out of me that I couldn't see for myself and would push me to get out of my comfort zone. I remember I was so nervous at my first tryout. You're in a space with the best players in the province, being evaluated by the top coaches in the province. I ended up being cut my first time. That was a really good experience looking back, how to build resilience. I just took that as motivation to come back better for the next tryouts. And luckily I made the provincial team 3 times, and that really helped with college recruitment. Ended up in me playing for UW for 5 years. One of my coolest stories from playing Team Manitoba is getting to play against RJ Barrett when he was on Team Ontario. He's playing for the Toronto Raptors now, but I was on the 17U team back then, and he was 14 at the time, playing 17U, dunking on us, dropping 40 a game. It was cool to see like a guy you knew who was gonna go to the NBA.
Along with your own hard work, do you credit anyone else with inspiring you or pushing you to succeed in sports?
Yeah, I give all the credit to my mom. She sacrificed a lot for my younger brother and I so we could have a successful future. I think my dad saw me play basketball once or twice in my life, but my mom was always there driving us to games, screaming things from the stands that made no sense. But my mom believed in me and did everything she could to make sure that I could play on teams like provincial team and eventually make it to college. She'd do volunteering to help reduce my team fees, work extra hours at work, and just always made sure we had food on the table and really put my brother and I before herself. Now she's a successful business systems analyst at True North. To get where she is, she had to put up with a lot of racism and setbacks. Her goal in life was to give my brother and I a better childhood than she had, so that really motivated me to make her proud.
Get a motivation. What motivated you to start coaching?
It wasn't until I was 18 that I had my first First Nation coaches. Keith Mason here in Winnipeg and John Ross up in Thompson. Those two guys really dedicate themselves to youth and community and demonstrated that basketball is something that comes full circle. Being able to coach at NAG and other camps where it's mostly Indigenous youth or all Indigenous youth, it's a really rewarding experience. I never had the chance to be coached by a First Nation coach, like I said, till 18, or to be coached by someone who has youth sports experience. There's very few of us who get to compete at the youth sports level. It's nice to see that we're having more representation at that level. Being able to share my experience and how I got through things and share something that's brought so much joy and success to my life. It's a really rewarding experience.
When young people incorporate sport and physical activity into their lives, what do you see in terms of the impact it has on physical and emotional development?
Well, obviously, if you train, maintain, and push your body to the limits, you're going to start seeing that physical development. And the emotional development, that's an interesting question. I was thinking about this quite a bit. The emotional development comes from learning to take care of yourself. You start to learn to trust yourself. This is important because the relationship with yourself's the most important relationship everybody has. We have to learn to take care of ourselves so we can be available for those people who are important in our lives. And I know you do a great job of demonstrating this, posting on social media, your commitment to the gym, even though you have an insane schedule being our grand chief. That's an important message for people to see, because no matter what you're dealing with in life, you gotta maintain that commitment to self-care. You know, it's tough to stay consistent with physical activity, and I think sport makes that commitment easier. I know now that I'm in law school and I'm not training 4 to 5 hours a day playing basketball that much, I find myself struggling mentally and emotionally at times. And like Trishelle said, just using those habits in sport and transferring it to law school just makes me sad, because I started developing a lawyer belly, but I'm working towards a good future.
Josh, this week you received the Justice Richard Wagner Award from Pro Bono Students Canada. Congratulations. The award recognizes outstanding law student volunteers who show leadership and commitment in providing free legal support for those who face barriers to justice. I understand you led a project in collaboration with the organization called New Directions, in which you developed a resource to make important legal information accessible to people living with disabilities. Is there anything you would like to share about how you hope to use your education in law to make a positive impact on the world around you?
Being a part of that project was such a rewarding experience. What motivated me to be a part of that project is an experience I had before law school. During COVID, I lost my uncle suddenly, and we had to navigate the wills and estates process when there is no will. In our communities, wills, estates, and other aspects of the legal system aren't talked about or really accessible. So I plan to use my education to make it accessible to our communities and make sure it's met where our needs are at. And I thank everybody who was a part of that project and honored to have my contributions recognized.
Joshua Gandier, we have covered a lot of ground today. I'm glad to know about the good work you are doing. Keep it up. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today on Fireside Chats.
Thank you for inviting me to be on the show, Grand Chief Daniels. I'm honored to be serving as you, Chief, and the opportunity to learn from your leadership. And we're lucky to have you as Grand Chief.
And that's going to be it for this edition of Fireside Chats. Thank you to our listeners, our guests, Kate Kent, Melanie Ferris, Al Foster, and everyone at SCO and NCI who helped put this show on together. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can send us an email at media@scoinc.mb.ca. We look forward to your feedback and to bringing you another episode of Fireside Chats next week. On behalf of our entire team, I'm SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels. Miigwech, Padamaye Do for listening. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. We hope you join us next time for Fireside Chats, every Friday at 5:30, right here on NCI FM.